Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, well, we're back with our favorite, Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News. Welcome back, Ken.
It's good to be back.
Okay, so big news. Donald Trump said during the campaign that he would reappoint Preet Bharara. Then there were a lot of people who thought, nah, he won't. And now, tell us about it.
Yeah, right before the campaign, right before the election, I ran a column that had a top Trump consultant saying that he seriously consider asking Bharara to stay, that he respects what he's done, he's doing the kind of thing that Trump wants to do in Washington. And at the time they said it, you know, it was real, but I didn't know how real it was. I thought, well, maybe they're just saying this to curry favor, you know, try to get some more votes in New York. It was right before the election. But sure enough, Trump brought Bharara in and said, I want you to stay. Bharara said, I'll stay.
Now, of course, he stays as long as the president wants him to stay. He can fire at will, can he?
He can fire at will, and also he can stay as long as he wants to stay. He's been there already 7-8 years, which is a long time for a U.S. attorney. It's possible he wants to see through a couple of open investigations into the Cuomo administration, into the de Blasio administration. Maybe he sees those through and leaves, or maybe, as he says, it's the best job he's ever had, and he wants to stay as long as he's welcome.
So let's parse this a little. Here's Trump. He sits down. How are you? They talk for a minute. What things of substance might have been discussed?
I'm sure Trump said, I am a fan of your work, what you've done to weed out corruption. Trump is not exactly a fan of Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, called him the worst mayor. Certainly probably is not a fan of Andrew Cuomo, although he hasn't gone after him the same way he's gone after de Blasio. But let's face it, if Cuomo is really considering a run for 2020, if that's true, it doesn't hurt to have an aggressive prosecutor who's already looking into him if you're Donald Trump.
Right. So is there any chance, I mean, only because my evil mind thinks this way, that, you know, there was an attempt to find out if any investigations involved him, Trump?
Well, I mean, there was talk that they were looking into the Trump Foundation. I don't know if he stopped this. There was no, I have no reason to believe that did occur. I have no reason to believe it didn't occur. We just don't know if that issue came up.
Let's move to the man you just mentioned, Governor Cuomo. You had a column that said Cuomo celebrates birthday at lavish fundraiser. And now Cuomo, who has been known to move on a dime if he has to, is saying that the Democrats ignored the middle class. What does that tell us?
Well, it tells us he certainly, if he hasn't decided to run in 2020, he is certainly taking a more prominent role nationally. He's trying to at least make headlines nationally. He's trying to dictate the direction of the party, saying, look, this is what we need to address. Hillary, you know, and it's a slap at Hillary Clinton, someone he supported. But if he's saying we ignored it, it means she ignored it. She was the top of the ticket. Look, Cuomo certainly is trying to raise his national profile. He's been mentioned for 2020, you know, not just in New York, but elsewhere. And just this week, he was elected to be the policy chairman of the Democratic Governors Association. And until now, he's really had very little to do with that organization. And if you recall, a certain New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, a Republican, headed the Republican Governors Association for a couple of years.
Did him a lot of good.
But he used it to springboard him into a national run. It was unsuccessful, but certainly it raised his profile. He helped various Republicans across the country, and I'm sure Andrew Cuomo took note of that. And if he is considering, look, we don't know, is he considering a run for president for real, or is he enjoying the attention? It's a distraction from the scandals that have erupted within the administration. So, you know, it takes away from those scandals when people are mentioning him as a 2020 candidate.
Well, certainly he is running, as far as I know, based on a long history of my relationship with his father and with him. This is a guy who is both in love with his father's memory, but also competitive with it.
Absolutely. But look, first we got to get through 2018, and there's a lot of roadblocks or a lot of hurdles and obstacles that he has to face.
Like what?
Like trials next year. And yeah. Look, Preet Bharara has 9 people, one who's already pled guilty and is cooperating, a guy named Todd Howe, a lobbyist who worked for Mario Cuomo, who worked for Andrew Cuomo, and is a well-connected lobbyist who was really given a lot of access to Cuomo's administration, Andrew Cuomo's administration. He's cooperating with the feds. You have Joe Prococo, a former top aide and close friend of the governor, someone the governor said that Mario Cuomo saw as a third son. He's been indicted, and, you know, there's pressure on him, whether he's, and people want to know, will he flip? If there's anything to flip on, will he flip on the governor, especially because Prococo's wife could be facing charges, and I'm sure Barrera is holding that over his head. There's 7 other people who have been indicted who are associates of the governor. So even saying nothing, there's nothing that the governor did criminally wrong, saying he has not been indicted, saying that Barrera doesn't find anything. Look what happened during the Bridgegate trial. That wasn't even about Andrew Cuomo, and yet he came up and there was a couple of embarrassing revelations. If these cases go to trial, there is a potential of extreme embarrassing information at best that would come out about the governor, what he knew, what he didn't know, what was said, what wasn't said. And so, you know, we got to see what kind of impact those trials would have on the governor. And that those trials, if they happen, if there's people don't cop pleas, are going to take place next year, a year before Cuomo is due to run for re-election.
Now, Ken Lovett, all of the problems that the governor has been having, you just laid out some of them, closest associates really proving to be, at least on tape, somewhat venal. What's the deal? I mean, there's a poll from the Siena poll, which shows him doing quite respectably among the electorate.
It does, especially in New York City, which he's going to need if he runs for re-election, because
it ain't going to happen upstate.
It's not going to happen upstate. He lost upstate. He lost most counties upstate when he ran. He wins the population centers, which are, you know, tend to skew Democratic, but. You know, we're going to see what happens, because a lot of Democrats are mad at him right now as well. Now, the public is not. You know, his approval numbers are solid. His approval numbers in New York City are very good. His job approval numbers aren't so good. They went up the last month, but according to Siena, but they're underwater, which means they're under 50%. And a lot of people say he shouldn't run for re-election. But, you know, you can't beat anyone with nobody, as they say. And, you know, if nothing terrible comes out, he probably would walk to re-election. But there's a lot of things that could come out, and that's what we're going to wait to see over the next 12 months.
You had some wonderful columns lately, Ken Lovett. One of my favorites is a guy I call Boss Hasty. He was the boss of the Bronx. Now he's the boss of the Assembly. He's the Speaker of the Assembly. And there's a big contretemps going on between him and the governor. Legislators want a pay raise. They haven't had one for 1,000 years. And the governor says, you can have it, but you have to work through all kinds of hoops to get it. You want to bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, and this really dates back a couple of years. The legislature was pushing for a pay raise a few years ago, and instead, they agreed to do a pay raise commission that was supposed to be independent. And you know, when it comes to New York, and especially independent commissions that the governor has a part of, they're not going to be independent. So they create this commission in exchange for some ethics reforms a couple of years ago. And basically, the commission was going to see what kind of raise they deserve, if they deserve, and then implement it. And if the legislature didn't like it, they could change it. But beyond that, it would go into effect. So flash ahead. The commission and Cuomo's appointees block a raise before they go out of existence.
Yeah.
They say, well, we would give you a raise if you do some ethics reforms.
So now, these guys are all flunkies and toadies.
And, your words. But don't forget, they decided all of a sudden the ethics reform push from the commission, the governor, came after the indictments and arrests of those associates we just talked about of Cuomo. So now he wants to be seen as, I need these ethics reforms, because certainly, these indictments have been a stain, a black eye on the administration, on the governor, who promised to clean all this up. So now he says, I need ethics reforms, and I'm not going to do a pay raise or a significant pay raise if I don't get them. The legislature is hopping mad. They, both sides of the aisle. And Carl Hasty called his counterpart in the Senate Republican Majority Leader John Flanagan, and said, what do you think of the idea that we go it alone, that we pass a pay raise bill, which would force the governor to either grudgingly sign it, or it would force him to veto it, which would raise the ire of the lawmakers on both sides
of
the aisle.
And then they override it.
They override it if they can, and they head into the 2017 session angry at the governor. and torpedoing his agenda. However, Flanagan was honest with Hastie and basically, according to my sources, and said, I'm not sure I can muster the votes for an override because the upstate Republicans would not override. They come out publicly against a pay raise, and then he would have to make a deal with the Senate Democrats, and they're not really in the mood right now to be cutting deals with each other.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, you're quite right. There is that group, we always talk about them, you and I, the breakaway Democrats under Senator Klein. I call them the traitors, you don't. Theoretically, there are more Democrats now in the state Senate than there are Republicans. But you got a whole bunch of guys, including one guy, Felder, who runs as a Democrat and is a Republican this time, but who never votes with the Democrats. He'll always organize with the Republicans.
Well, he sits with the Republicans, and he told me on Sunday, because the Democrats are extreme, the Senate Democrats are very upset with the governor as well. They feel that if he wanted a Democratic Senate, as he said during the campaign. Now, let's back up. The governor, for the first time this year, actually campaigned, you know, and it's weird that we have to say this is news. But for the first time this year, the governor actually campaigned on behalf of a Democratic Senate. He raised money for them, and he endorsed several of their candidates. Not all, but several. So now, though, he's been silent. He won't say whether the Democrats should unify. Matter of fact, they say it's not his job to get involved in an intramural scrum between the Senate Democrats. So you have Felder, who really is the 32nd vote for the Republicans, who told me this past Sunday he has no plans to go back to the Democrats. There's nothing Cuomo can do that would change his mind. Then you have what will be in January, the 7 independent Democrats led by Klein, who are also set to align themselves with the Republicans. So you will, for the second time in recent years, have a numerical majority for the Democratic Party, but they won't control the chamber.
So I have a wicked idea, because we all know that Klein, Senator Klein from the Bronx, the Democrat, who leads this coalition of errant Democrats, has always wanted to be the head Democrat. So what if they were to concede in the Senate? The other Democrats, the regular Democrats, say, okay, you could be the head guy. Would that solve the problem?
No.
Not because of Felder?
Because of Felder. And Felder's not part of Klein's group. And if that were the case, it would still be 32-31.
Right.
So even that wouldn't work. And look, I mean, you know, the governor looks at it. There's no doubt he's enjoyed working with the Republicans, who are mad at him as well right now because he did go after some of the incumbents, which he had never done before. And so they're not happy with him. But the governor, you know, is comfortable working with them. And so now you're going to see that in all likelihood, it's going to be the Republican-controlled Senate again.
So prediction, will the Dems in the Assembly have the guts, for want of a better word, to pass a pay raise for themselves? Without the Senate, right?
Not without the Senate, they won't.
Okay.
And, you know, they're still negotiating and they're still talking with the governor. And the thing is, they have to do it, we should point out, by the end of the year. If they don't do it by the end of the year, they can't have a raise for another 2 years. The last pay raise they had was in 1999. So they really want this. So we're going to see what kind of deals they cut.
Yeah, but what they're not willing to do, Ken Lovett of the Daily News, is to say, okay, we'll make a concession. Like the Congress of the United States, we will limit our outside income. They won't do it.
No, the governor had pushed a constitutional amendment, and the Assembly Democrats basically said, we're not going to consider a lot of these amendments. We'll see. You know, it's all going to come down to how much do they really want a pay raise. And it's funny because they will say, we refuse, and Hastie has made a big deal about this.
Cool.
We will not trade for a pay raise, but we'll talk about other issues separately, which, you know, the governor said he won't approve a pay raise unless they do these issues, and they'll say, well, we'll consider other issues separately. So they will be linked. If there's a deal to be had, it'll all be linked, and it has to be done by the end of the year. They're hoping maybe by next week, because they'd like to do it before the holidays, but it would not be shocking if they came back between Christmas and New Year's to get it done.
Now, this is a really interesting story. It's your exclusive, and it's a great story. Sheldon Silver's top aide for 1,000 years, I mean maybe 2,000 years, was a woman named Judith Rapfogel. Judith Rapfogel was married to another guy, Rapfogel, Metropolitan...
Willie Rapfogel.
Metropolitan Council on Jewish Poverty something like that.
Yes, a Jewish charity in New York City.
A charity in New York City. Mm-hmm. They find out he has been stealing for years.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes a plea and heads to prison. I'm sure he's out by now.
He's sort of out. So he's on a work release, he's out 4 nights a week.
But Judy Rapfogel stays until the bitter end with Shelley Silver. Now, you point out, she's working for Trump.
Well, she's working for Jared Kushner's organization.
Okay. Right.
Jared Kushner is Donald Trump's a top advisor to Trump, but also, lo and behold, Trump's son-in-law. She is working as a property manager for Kushner Companies, which, by the way, was founded by Charles Kushner, who also went to prison.
So he did. Who sent them there? Chris Christie.
Chris Christie. So if you look at, you know, they say you define yourselves by those you surround yourselves with. Judy Rapfogel's husband went to prison. Her work husband, her boss, Shelley Silver, went to prison. And now her new boss's father, who created the company, went to prison.
And when they came to arrest, as I read the stories, Rapfogel himself, and there were, you know, there's money around the apartment, I think under the bed, I'm not sure.
In the closet.
In the closet. And they said to Judy Rapfogel, they said, "You know anything about this?" And she said, "No, I don't know anything." Cool, you know. My wife can tell you where there's a hairball under any bed in the 9-room house.
But I'll tell you, it was surprising, obviously, that she went there. But in a way, it's not, because Judy Rapfogel, Willie Rapfogel, Shelley Silver were prominent members of the Orthodox Jewish community down in New York City. The Kushners are Orthodox Jewish. So at the time, it was April, so Trump hadn't even had the nomination yet. You know, I'm sure it looked like they were just, you know, trying to help her out. She needed work. Now, we should also say, for years, she was among the highest paid state legislative employees. So now she's not only working for Jared Kushner, but she's still collecting, I think it's either $126,000 or $136,000 a year pension, taxpayer-funded pension.
Wow. So riddle me this. riddle me this, Batman. What if, in fact, there's more to it than this? Is it possible that Silver will get a pardon from the incoming president?
Boy, you know, that makes for great discussion. He's been convicted. He's appealing, so he doesn't need it quite yet, but we shall see. I don't know how close they are, you know, but look, anything is possible, I guess, right? That is a good conspiracy theory, though. I like that.
Another huge story that you've been following and doing a great job with is the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, has turned down Governor Cuomo's request for a new helicopter, which was quite fancy, as we say. So what's the deal there?
Well, the governor is looking to buy I think it's $12 million helicopter. They say, though, it's slightly used. It'll save the state $4 million. They said it's not just for the governor. It's for the state police. And the governor will use it sometimes, but it's mainly for the state police and their missions.
And
they need one. You know, all the others are old. Another one crashed. And the comptroller said there were too many questions. Like, among them, why do you need a luxury helicopter if it's going on police missions? And so, you know, in the end, a lot of people seem to think it'll end up being approved, but the comptroller definitely threw a flag on the field and stopped it from being purchased until these questions are answered. Now, this comes weeks after the comptroller of late has really gone after Cuomo. He's had some negative audits about his economic development programs, and we had a piece a few weeks ago that he sent letters after the scandal with SUNY Polytechnic that really has rocked the Cuomo administration. You know, DiNapoli has been frozen out by the governor of the procurement process for a lot of these projects, says,
which could have potentially saved a lot of people a lot of embarrassment if he was allowed to have done his job.
Absolutely. And so now what he is, and the governor is proposing procurement reform that would still be over the under the oversight of the governor's office, not the comptroller's office. DiNapoli sent a...
That's ridiculous.
And DiNapoli sent a letter to the governor. I had this in my column a few weeks ago that said, or sent it to, you know, the governor's people, if you're going to reopen these contracts, because they're moving it under the governor's auspices at Empire State Development Corp, if you're going to redo these contracts or have new ones, I want to see them. And we're going to see. That could be the next battle between the two of these.
Now, there's a long history here. There are those people who think that Tom DiNapoli may actually be setting himself to run for governor.
Yeah, I think Tom DiNapoli would love to run for governor. I don't think he will run for governor
if Cuomo is in.
I don't think he would primary Cuomo. Cuomo has a lot of money,
And a name.
And he raised more the other day. He has a name and his numbers are fine right now. Again, a lot can change next year. But if for whatever reason, whether it's I'm not going to run for re-election in 2018 because I want to run for president in 2020, or if it's his numbers go down so bad because of these scandals and whatever the trials bring next year, or if there's an indictment, then all bets are off. And it wouldn't shock me to see DiNapoli at least try.
And while we're on the subject, 2018 governor, who the Republicans got? Still nobody?
Well, Rob Astorino is still the name that's out there the
most.
That's
what I said, still nobody?
The Westchester County executive who lost to Cuomo a few years ago. You know, there's some other names that are out there, but no one big. You've got Dutchess County executive Mark Molinaro. You've got John Cahill. And an oldie but a goodie, Carl Palladino out of Buffalo, the billionaire who's close to the multimillionaire businessman who is close to Donald Trump.
And then you have the other guy who ran for comptroller.
Yeah, and then you also have Harry Wilson. And Harry Wilson ran for comptroller, almost beat Tom DiNapoli. It wasn't as close as originally thought, but he could self-fund some of it anyway. He's got a lot of money, so... But those names, they're not very well known. They're going to have to raise a lot of money, and they're going to have to really, really try at least to get 30% in New York City, and that's going to be hard.
Who he? That's all I got to say when you come to some of these people who would run against Cuomo. So that's fascinating stuff. You see that New York State Attorney General has released a package of bills aimed at improving what he says are the state's arcane and ridiculous voting laws that bar many potential voters from the ballot box. What's that all about?
Yes, he had a press conference in Albany on Tuesday. He called it legal voter suppression. And he said whether it's untrained poll workers, whether it's, you know, machinery that broke down, people's names that suddenly ended up not on the rolls even though they thought they enrolled, or making it difficult to vote by affidavit ballot, all these kinds of things, long lines at the polls that made people go away, you know, an hour and a half online. He says these need to be changed. So he came through with a package of proposals that we've seen before that haven't passed, a lot of them, including early voting, making it that anybody who has direct contact with a state agency and is eligible to be registered is automatically registered, making it easier to do absentee ballots, all those kinds of things. Having one primary day as opposed to this year, we had three. So all those kinds of changes. A lot of them have been around. The Assembly has passed some of them, not all of them, and the Senate hasn't. So I think it's still going to be a heavy lift for the AG to get those things through.
So Ken Lovett, how do people read you? They hear you on the show all the time. They say to me, how do I get to read Ken Lovett? How do you do that?
Well, there's the actual newspaper, if people still pick those up. And then there is our website.
And you're always on Mondays, is that right?
My column is on Monday mornings, the Monday print edition. And it's also online at www.nydailynews.com.
Right. Is it kind of lonely up there these days? I understand that most people who had people up in the Capitol, a lot of them have decreased the numbers.
Well, they have, but they've been replaced. So, you know, a lot of the newspapers, you know, when I first came up here, we no longer have up here covering the Capitol. Ottawa News Service, WINS, the Staten Island Advance, Schenectady Gazette, Troy Record, Watertown Daily Times. Yeah, I'm sure there's others I'm forgetting here. The Syracuse paper is no longer here. So, you know, a lot have disappeared. But then you have now Politico New York, which has six people. You have City and State. You have other online sites. So a lot of the newspapers have been replaced by more of the online sites.
It's always wonderful to have our friend Ken Lovett here with us, who is Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News. Ken, as always, what a joy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.